My name is Johanna Gilring. In this video, we are going to look at how you can automatically configure your machine using Azure Automation DSC at initial boot up. So before we go into the details, let's have a look at a quick overview of Azure Automation DSC. DSC is can act as a pull server, a DSC pull server in your environment. So instead of you having to install, set up, configure, maintain, monitor, backup, and so on, your own pull server, you can leverage it as a hosted service in Azure Automation. So you can see that this is a screenshot I took from the product documentation, which outlines the steps you need to perform. So first you will need to upload your DSC configuration, so it's like a regular DSC configuration if you're used to working with that. Then that configuration must be compiled so that a node configuration or a MOF file exists on the pull server or in the Azure Automation service. So you can see the steps outlined on the right. If you look at the bottom, we have the machines that we are going to focus on in this article. Our goal today is to look at a Windows operating system running Windows Management Framework 5 or newer, and we are going to look at how we can bootstrap that machine on its initial boot up, the first time it boots up after being provisioned. So we want to basically configure the DSC agent to point as Azure Automation DSC as a pull server. So nothing will be stored locally on the machine, only the configuration necessary to authenticate and register itself with Azure Automation and get a configuration for its desired role, for example, a file server. So let's jump right into it. If we go into the demonstration script that I will share with you after the presentation, we can start by having a look at a few variables here. I've set up a few template VHDs we're going to use. I've tested this against both Windows Server 2016, the Technical Preview 5, but in this article we're going to use the latest supported version, which is 2012 R2 with the Windows Management Framework 5, which includes, as you probably know, PowerShell 5 and desired state configuration. So let's go ahead and use 2012 R2. Next, we are going to look at three different scenarios. So we are going to start by looking at how you do this from scratch. So imagine that you download the ISO file for the operating system you want to use, and you want to create yourself a golden image, a template. Then you go to, for example, your hypervisor of choice, for example, Hyper-V. You create a new machine, you point to the ISO file, you boot up, install the OS manually, you maybe install the latest patches, and then you would run the process of sysprep. That means that the machine will be ready for being generalized. So when it's shut down and the next time it started, it will create unique IDs for the system, for example, to authenticate or to use a new ID against Windows Server Update services and so on. If you did not use sysprep and you created multiple machines using the same master disk, you would get into trouble with the duplicates in WSS, Active Directory, lots of problems. So you should use sysprep when you create your master disk. When you have done that, you would typically copy the VHDX file into a template location. For example, in my environment, I'm storing them in this folder. So here is the template I created after installing it using the ISO file. I just gave it a meaningful name, describing what's inside it, when it was last updated, and I'm going to use this as a base image. In production, I would use this file. I will copy it into a new file for each virtual machine. But in a lab environment, it's very useful to just use this as a master disk and create different sync disks on top of it. So you don't have to copy, in this case, 15 gigabytes for every VM. It will just store the differences in its own file. So let's go ahead and create a virtual machine. For the purpose of this demo, I'm created a function called new demo VM so that I don't have to create this very, very long demo script. So it will create a virtual machine, configure different settings, and for example here it will create a different sync disk based on the parent disk that I created. So you will have access to this afterwards, but we're just going to use the function now. So we're going to dot source it so it becomes available in the session, and we're going to create a new VM where you point to the variable template vhdx, which is, as I said, 2012R2 with PowerShell 5 on it. So let's go ahead and create this. I'm going to pause the video when things take a little bit of time. Now we can see that the initialization phase is complete, and we're presented with the settings dialog to configure regional settings, keyboard layout, licensing agreement, and so on. And the most important part is maybe the password for the local administrator account. But this is of course not something we want to configure manually each time we spin up a new virtual machine. So this is something we want to be performed and attended. So let's just turn off VM1 and head back to scenario 2, where we're going to inject an attend.xml file into the VHDX differencing file in order to specify those settings. So let's just go ahead and create VM2. When that is created, we should find that a differencing disk is created here, which is only 4 MB. It's based on the parent disk, which is located here. So every changes that are performed when we start the VM is going to be changed into this differencing file. Nothing is changed in the master. So in a lab environment, it's very convenient to use the same master disk to save storage space. So now, before we start the VM, it's important to do it before that. We mount the file, the VHDX file. So now we're inside it and we can see the directory structure. If you look at an article from TechNet here, we can see that we have some documentation on where the setup process looks for the unattend file. So it's a search order with a number of location it's searched for. I'm not sure what's the best practice to use here, so I'm just going to use the Panther directory, which works fine for my demonstration purpose. Panther. And let's inject, this is the D drive. So if we go to the demo and we say that it's going to the D drive, the Windows, the Panther directory, and we're going to call it unattend.xml because that's the file name that it will look for. So let's just have a quick look inside the file before we inject it. Here you can see that it will skip the out-of-box experience for both the user and machine, hide the licensing. It will specify the administrator password. And here we can see that we are trying to, the goal here is to specify as little information as possible inside an attend XML because we want to use PowerShell desired state configuration to configure language settings and basically everything on our managed nodes. So you may know that you can inject all sorts of settings into an attend.xml, but our goal here is to make it as small as possible. So let's just inject this one and start the VM. Here we use the copy item commandlet, but before we start the VM, it's very important to remember to dismount the drive because you can't start the VM while the disk is mounted in Windows. There you can see an attend is injected. We go back to this PC, we choose eject. Now we should be good to go to start the VM. So let's have a look at what happens when it boots up. We'll go through the same stage as before, detecting new hardware and so on. But what we should see when it eventually boots, the process completes, is that we are presented with a logon dialog where we can press Ctrl Alt Delete to log in, and we are not going to specify a password and regional settings and so on. So then we are one step closer to getting the process unattended, but As you can see, when we log into the VM, it will have no settings configured. It will have a random machine name starting with win dash and some random characters. It will not be joined to a domain or have a static IP address configured or anything like that. So it's just like a plain new virtual machine. Here you can see that it's finished. And if we log in using password as specified in the NetInt file, we see that we're logged in. Profile is generated for the administrator account. And when Server Manager launches, we should see that it's a default installation. Nothing is configured here. Random machine name in a workgroup. So let's just I don't want to turn this off because in this lab environment I'm using Hyper-V, and for the next demonstration my virtual machine needs to have an internet connection. So I'm actually going to configure this VM2 as a DHCP server so that the VM3 that will be booted will get an IP address and can have internet access in order to reach Azure Automation DSC, which is the pull server. I'm going to stop the recording when I do that because that's not relevant for this demonstration. So now the DHCP server is configured and we are ready to proceed, but it's important to note that when you're using this technique, you need to make sure that the VM have network connectivity to Azure Automation DSC. So let's move further from scenario 2 to scenario 3, where we'll make the process more automated. We won't crack open the VHDX file manually. That was just for demonstration purposes. So let's look into scenario 3, where we, in addition to inject the NetInt file, we'll also inject the metaconfig.mof file. Metaconfig.mof is the same settings that is injected as when you're running the command let's set DSC local configuration manager in order to configure the DSC client, if you will, the LCM. So let's have a look here. Before the prerequisites is that a meta.mof file is available before we can inject it. So that is something that you will typically do when you are using Azure Automation. Let's look at a different file where I have all of these things configured. So here we need the Azure RM.automation module in order to do the things we are going to do here now. You can install it using install module if you don't have it. You also need to authenticate against Azure, so let me just go ahead and do that. And when you're ready, when you're logged on, you can run the Azure RM automation command. That's, for example, to upload or import a DSC configuration. So let's look at one configuration that we're going to use as a for demo purposes in this article. So here I'm configured our basic configuration called demo servers VMF5, where we for every node will use the X computer DSC resource to configure the name of the computer inside the operating system. So instead of win dash and a random name, it will be renamed to what we call it in the configuration data, which I will show you in a minute. Then we have also some role specific configurations. In this demo environment, I've defined a role called file server. You can create your own roles. And that will simply just install the Windows feature called file services. So let's close this one and upload it or import it to Azure Automation by running this commandlet. When the configuration is uploaded, we can have a quick look in the portal. So this is the Azure portal, and when you go into automation accounts, and you create yourself an automation account, you have DSC runbooks, which can be a regular PowerShell script. You have assets such as modules and credentials and variables and so on, which is all something that you can leverage in Azure Automation DSC. But let's focus on DSC configuration in this scenario, and here we have the configuration I just uploaded, demo servers VMF5. So here we can see that I have done this a couple of times before while practicing for this demonstration, but when you import a configuration for the first time, it won't be compiled. That means there will not be any node configurations available. So that's something you can do here, but if you want to specify configuration data, which is used in the configuration, like I showed you, you must do it from PowerShell. So let's go back here. Here we define some configuration data. I create three VMs in the configuration. It's only this one we are going to provision in this example. So this is just basic DSC knowledge or DSC techniques for those of you who have worked with DSC before. When you define that, you can run this start Azure RM automation DSC compilation job commandlet. Specify the name of the configuration and the configuration data hash table. So let's go ahead and run this. This have already been run before, so it already exists node configuration for VM3, so we don't have to wait for it in this example. But let's go here, and if you look at DSC node configurations, you can see that you can either have a node configuration for a specific VM, or you can have it for a generic role. If you want to configure node specific settings such as IP address and so on, you would need to create node specific node configurations. But if you don't need that, you can do a role based one in order to leverage the same configuration on multiple machines. That's something you will have to decide yourself. So let's go back into the demonstration. The next thing, now we have uploaded the DSC configuration and started a compilation job which will generate a MOF file with the configuration. The next thing we need to do is to generate a DSC meta configuration, which will basically configure the LCM or DSC client to point to Azure Automation. There is a commandlet called get Azure RM Automation DSC onboarding meta config, which you can use. Let me show you quickly. If we generate one for VM3 and we open it in the ISE, you can see that how that looks like. But here there are some configurations that you can't control, for example the configuration mode, apply and monitor. In my case, I want it set to apply and autocorrect, so I can't use that technique. The most important part is that you can't configure what the configuration to pull. So if you go back to the portal, we saw that I created this configuration called demo servers VMF5. So that's not specified inside the auto-generated configuration document for the client. So if I just use this one, it will register and become available as a DSC node. But then I would have to go into the node and manually or using PowerShell assign the node to a configuration after it's been bootstrapped. But in this case, I don't want to do it afterwards. I want it to happen automatically. So in order to do that, the Azure Automation team has created a configuration in order to configure everything more customized, if you will. So here you can specify the configuration name, as you can see here. So that's available on the documentation page that I will link it at the end of the presentation. So here I'm just going to .source it to get the configuration available. And I will configure some specific settings. For example, I want the computer name to be VM3. I want it to download demo service VMF5.VM3, the specific configuration for that node. And here is also information about the registration URL and the registration key, which you can get from the Azure portal. If you go back to the main page and you click on this key here, you can see the keys here. I'm of course going to regenerate this after this recording, but this is kind of the secret that the client used to authenticate the first time it's bootstrapped against Azure Automation DSC. So it's a good practice to rotate or regenerate this on a regular basis. When I'm configured these variables, I can inject the variables into the parameters I'm going to send to the configuration. Here I'm using the concept of splatting in order to make it a little bit more readable. So here you can see that I'm setting it to apply an autocorrect, and the node configuration name is demo servers vmf5.vmg. So let's go ahead and run this. It will generate a vmg.meta.mof file. So if we crack that one open, we can see that the configuration names is now injected along with the other necessary information. Optionally, but a best practice, you can also clear the authoring metadata from that meta configuration. You can see at the top here it's inserting the username of my current user account, the host name for my host computer, and some things at the end there. So a module called Carbon have a function called ClearMoth authoring metadata, which is really nice to use to clean up the metadata. So you can optionally run that to clean up the metadata from the document. I believe it works without doing it, but it's a best practice, and I also think that the PowerShell team has mentioned that it may be necessary. So now we have a meta.mof file ready for being injected. So let's proceed with creating VMG. Next we are going to inject. We are going to first get the part of the hard drive, and we are going to mount it using mount disk image, and we are using this technique in order to get what drive letter was assigned to the disk when we mounted it. And then we are going to specify that we want to copy the unattend file into the Windows Panther unattend XML part of that drive, and we're just using copy item. So that's basically what we did manually in the previous demonstration. And the important part for this demonstration is what we're doing here. We're injecting the meta configuration into the VHDX for bootstrapping. So we're basically just grabbing the file that we created in the previous demo, and we're stating that we want to inject it into C Windows System 32 configuration metaconfig.mof, where the default location for the LCM metaconfig. And we're using copy item here as well. And it's also a best practice to remove the local copy of that file, because it contains a secret, the registration key that you can use to onboard to Azure Automation. So when you've done that, you can dismount the disk image and you can start the VM. So let's go ahead and do that. Now let's see. It should boot up. It should get an IP address assigned from a DHCP server so that it have internet access, and then it should, the DSC local configuration manager should try to register itself with Azure Automation DSC. Then it will negotiate and get a certificate installed into the local computer or the local machine certificate store, which will be used to encrypt credentials and other secrets. So that's a benefit of using Azure Automation DSC as a pool server, that you don't need to handle the certificate, the encryption certificate part, which have been a path, kind of a hassle in the past, at least with VMF4. And of course, other benefits you get from using Azure Automation DSC as a pool server is that you can use global variables, global credentials you have stored in Azure Automation. So it makes it much more convenient, that process. So I'm not going to log in just yet. You can see that it's been up for a few seconds, so it should now start to enact the DSC configuration and register itself in the automation service. So let's have a look at DSC nodes and look if we get our fourth node here. This is just some lab machines in my lab. Here we can see that win dash and a random number is in progress. So that can take a few seconds to enact, and we can see that it's not compliant because the name is not what's specified in the configuration, and the Windows Future File Service is not. So now the machine has rebooted, so let's log in and have a look. If you look in portal again, we can see that it's still listed as not compliant. And we did a refresh, we can see that it's now compliant, so it's then a second consistency check after rebooting. And we can see that now both the Windows Feature and the X computer settings is now in a compliant state. So this is actually also something that you get when using using Azure Automation DSC, that you get this nice reporting feature, so you can drill down into the individual resources and look at their settings. And that's not something that you don't have any good reporting capabilities if you use the native DSC pool server, which is actually just provided more as an example. So here you can see some additional details. So let's look inside the VM. And if you look at the computer name, for example, we can see that's now what we specified in the node configuration data. And we can also see that the file and storage services is available here. So if I open PowerShell and we run get Windows Feature where installed, we should see that the file services feature is in fact installed. Now this was there you can see it, file services installed, that's not there by default. So this is now a file server in the demo environment. Of course, in the real world you would maybe want to have a lot of other settings here in order to, for example, configure time zone, enable remote desktop if that's something you have as default in your environment, configure firewall rules, Windows update settings. All things basically that you are configuring on a server, maybe manually today as part of some provisioning checklist or runbook or whatever. But that is all something that can happen dynamically when you're using this approach by just injecting that one metadot.mof file. The server will register itself and dynamically retrieve a DSC configuration from Azure Automation DSC. So if you go back to the demo script, you can see that in the demo new demo VM function, I also added a couple of parameters for specifying the path to the DSC meta configuration and the path to the unobtained XML file. So if you run this, those will be dynamically injected without you having to do all of this stuff. This was just for demonstration purposes in order to show what is going on under the hood. But now you can just run this one-liner to create a new VM with the DSC meta configuration and unobtained XML injected. Let's look at some resources in the end. This is something I already mentioned, the advantages of using Azure Automation DSC as your pool server. And that a certificate is automatically created. Here is some links to the official documentation. Also, I would like to recommend having a look at a module called Lability, which leverages the concept of injecting not only the meta configuration as we did in this demonstration, but also the DSC configurations themselves. So using that module, you can also use the approach we did in this demo by only injecting the meta configuration so that everything else for your lab environment is dynamically retrieved from Azure Automation DSC. I actually wrote an article covering the concepts and basics of the Lability module for PowerShell Magazine. So you can have a look at it if you want. Also some references to the sysprep process in addition to the demo scripts I showed in this presentation if you want to have a copy of them. So then I think we covered everything I wanted in this demonstration. We started off with creating a new master disk from an ISO file, fully patched. We then ejected an attend file, and we then injected the metaconfig.mof file in order to bootstrap the client to into Azure Automation DSC as well. And at the end, we had a look at some resources. So I hope you found this useful.